B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mash.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
10 seconds and 9. Jackson takes the snap on 8. He pumps. He's in the pocket. He rolls right. He throws to the far side. Catch. No! Dobbins drops it with 2 seconds to go. And the Patriots are going to hold on and win it over Baltimore.
That's one hell of a win right here, boy. Good for them. They needed this. Look at the excitement on the sideline. It's been a tough year. Been a tough year. All three phases, Bailey with the punts, you know, the kickoffs, special teams. Gilmore's not out there. You have rookies out there. Winovich moving around. Good job by Cam Newton and Harris and Burkhead and everybody in offense. And Myers continuing to trend well. Got a little identity going now for 2 weeks.
The Patriots will align in victory formation. Cam Newton under center in a 23-17 lead. He takes the knee, and the Patriots have won it over the Ravens for a second consecutive victory in the wake of a week when so many of the narratives were about what happened and what didn't happen in the past. The Patriots are moving forward.
What they call that? Call that a winning streak.
Yeah, there's Sosie there on the call. Felt like he's getting a little bluh in there.
There was a little bluh from Bob there.
Well, you know, I would say, Roberto, the reason we went to the past is because your coach keeps going there. It's your coach that says, well, who would you rather have over the last 20 years? I'm not going to apologize for our track record over the last 20 years. It's the coach that keeps going backwards. It's the coach that gets pressed with legitimate questions about where his current team is at, and he's the one that goes back 20 years. So take it up with Bill. Don't take it. Don't try and blow us, fans or media. It's Bill.
Yeah, Bob.
Bill's the one that can't take a little bit of heat, a little bit of criticism, where he goes back and says, well, look what I did 20 years ago. As I said to open up the show, that's a much better answer, what you got last night. Instead of telling me what you did in 2003 and 2001, why don't you coach up the players you do have and win a game and show us what you're capable of now on the field? And there's a much better answer. People aren't going to be questioning your young players this week after the way they played last night. Why don't you try that, Bill, versus sniveling about what you did 20 years ago?
I even put away the paper bag, Bob. No paper bag over my head this week. Just for you.
So, I mean, again, Bill's the one that keeps going back there. And I think that's a much better answer. We've been waiting for it. You know, why don't you find out what Chase Winovich can do and can't do and put him in a position to succeed? Or Duggar, or Jennings, or Uche, or these guys. You drafted them for a reason. So coach them up. That should be your answer. Not what you did 20 years ago. So anyway, we continue with your thoughts, Devin in the North End, on a missing piece right now on the team. Go ahead, Devin.
Hey, guys. So I got a little bit of, tea or gossip that I've been holding on for a couple weeks here for Stephen Gilmore.
Uh-oh.
My buddy runs yacht charters out of Marina Bay. And about a month ago, he came on board. This is right before it was announced that he had obviously the COVID positive test. And he chartered the yacht that weekend, paid cash with an undisclosed other person and two women.
Okay, how much farther do I want to go with that?
I'd let him keep going.
Seriously?
And then if it gets something shady at the end, we'll drop him.
Yeah, I'm a sea captain.
I want to know what happened on the boat.
You got permission to
board. Was Wiggy there?
But regardless, it came out 2 days later that he was positive test, and that's where one of the reasons he was probably shady about the whole thing, but figured it was worth dropping, but it happened right before the positive test.
All right, get rid of him.
Okay, so I do feel there is some shadiness there where the wife comes out and says, well, they weren't out to dinner. And then
emphasis on out.
People follow up like, well, where were they? What was going on? And then it's like silence.
Yeah, they were sailing on the harbor.
So did he, like, did he tell her one thing? And who the hell knows? All I know is, again, Bedard is implying that it's not just a knee here the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's what he did last night. So you can talk to him when he does a spot tomorrow.
Oh, he's pissed about something. Gilmore, he wanted to be traded at the deadline. They didn't trade him. So now he's making up crap about injuries or something like that. But you know what? I sort of like, and look, they would need him for the Arizona game. I mean, somebody's got to cover DeAndre Hopkins. That guy's just a force. Okay, independent of the play yesterday, he's a terrific player. So they could use him for that game. But really? I don't think there's a huge drop. Not with the way he was playing early in the year.
Well, that's easy to say last night because Jackson did a decent job.
No, he had a bad game the week before.
Ooh, were you saying that after the Jets game?
I know. So I'm just telling you that I don't think Gilmore's giving you 100% anyway. So, or he hasn't for the large majority of the season. So you know what? I'm okay going without him. Again, if you're trying to build something, let Jackson play.
But Jackson's a two. Gilmore, I think, you know, when he's playing his best, is still a one. And I just...
No question.
I just, there's something up here because there's conflicting reports because, again, Greg feels like it's more than the knee. You have others that cover the team like Jeff Howe saying, like, no, it's the knee, it's the knee, it's the knee. Like, something doesn't add up. Just go with your gut here. 3 weeks, the guy can't get on the field, but he was practicing last week, and then he was on the injury report, then he wasn't on the injury report. It was a clerical error. He's doing his vague tweets. Like, something's going on with this guy.
And again, it was Karen Garrigan who tweeted out it was a legit injury, but nothing serious.
Yeah.
Well, then why hasn't he played in 3 weeks?
And this is after the phony baloney Wildcat strike in the training camp.
Correct.
Like, so there's, it bugs me. But part of my whole path, the whole thing here is him coming back and Bentley coming back, even if he sucks, just having, you know, if Bentley comes back and this Hall's even better, well, then they got two guys there, and,
sure,
and neither of them are exactly Mike Singletary, but you got two representative guys that can do it, and if Jackson's your second corner versus your first corner, you're better off. And it all just sort of trickles down. So I don't know what the hell's going on with Gilmore, but he's bugging the crap out of me. I mean, they gave him a bump in salary. What does he want? They gave him $5 million. Chris in the car. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Felger and guys, thank you for reminding me because I had a few pops last night and I couldn't remember why Bill was so mad about, you know, that call. And thank you for reminding me about that because they put it on MSN with these funny memes and stuff or whatever they do. And one of them was like, you know, with his face being so angry, like, Firehouse subs are better than Subway subs. And he's like, but anyways, I called about that throw that. If he just put it in, if Cam Newton put it into freaking,
Jacoby Myers' chest as opposed to his feet, it wouldn't have been a ball game. 27-10, pending the extra point, Maz, and you're sort of coasting the rest of that game, and Baltimore then really does pack it in.
I'm telling you, Newton has at least one of these a week. On average, I'd be willing to bet he's had a dozen of these during the season already. Balls that are whipped into the ground, basically. Whether it's little swing passes or there was one to James White early in the year that I remember, at least one. There's really more. Like, he does it all the time. You know, he doesn't miss high a lot, but he misses low a lot.
Killer mistake there. JP and Hall on Newton. Go ahead, JP.
Hey, what's up, guys? Cam Newton can't throw it more than 20 yards, but the thing that bothers me about him is after the game. Did you guys see the way he was dressed with the fez and the tassel?
I don't care.
Reminded me of Howard Cunningham coming home from the Leopard Lodge, you know?
The Grand Poobah. Yes.
What's going on?
What was Richie Cunningham's dad was what?
Yeah.
What was the old man's name?
I don't remember. The actor's name was, never mind. I can't remember. You own the hardware store.
Yeah, right. Boswell.
Yeah.
Tom Bosley.
Tom Bosley was the actor's
Howard.
Name.
Howard Cunningham.
Howard Cunningham.
Howard Cunningham. Is a Grand Poobah. Is that what was his lodge called, though? It's true.
That wasn't the Water Buffaloes, was it?
That's Flintstones.
That's Fred Flintstones.
Okay, either way, I don't care about, you know, the Newton crap, like even the Superman stuff, he calls his teammates over with him. And I do feel he is having fun, and it's not just about it. It doesn't bother me as much as I thought it might. Some of it does. I'll tell you one that bothered me. Late in the game, he slides just short of the first down marker, almost picked up another 15-yard personal foul. This is where he got hit.
Oh, yes.
The shoulder, yeah.
His head hit the turf.
And his head snapped back, and they almost threw a flag for another 15 yards. They didn't, but he was 2 yards short, and he got up, and he did the first down. And it's like, no, dude, you're short. You're 2 yards short. And so, like, I'm not a dancer. I'm not into the dancing crap. But I don't know. He brings his teammates in with him. It's not just about him. It is about fun. And if I'm not into the fun thing, but if he is and his teammates are, then fine, I'm going to understand it. It doesn't bother me as much as I thought it might. Some of it does sometimes.
Because he's not as much of a me guy as you thought. That's why it's more of a we thing.
So it's true. It's not a me thing here. In Carolina, I felt it was.
But again, he's a better teammate than I thought. All that stuff that the guys were saying about him, Greg Olsen, he's a good teammate, you know, and I read it, I'm like, that's just, you know, the crap that people say about a guy when he's changing teams. I think he is, based on what we, you know, how he acts with his teammates and what he said. I think he's a good teammate. I think that counts for something.
He definitely has not been a me guy. Definitely.
And you know what? I kind of like the outfits. Seriously. That gives me something to just sort of say, what's he wearing now?
He buys a hat a week. There was an article in the Globe over the weekend.
Yeah. No, and when I saw the pictures of him walking into the stadium, I went, holy crap.
For how
look
much?
At this week.
How much do you think the hats cost?
Thousands.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet
you they're giving to him.
They don't even. No, he's buying them. They talked to the designer, and it's an L.A. designer. He's spending thousands. There's no doubt in my mind.
See, that I find kind of sad.
Yeah, so he was wearing called that a fez, right?
Yeah.
And he had like purple on. I said, he looks like Prince coming into the stadium last night.
Yeah, Leopard Lodge number 462. That's what you were probably thinking about. That's where Howie Cunningham used to go.
Leopard Lodge.
There it is, the Leopard Lodge. That's it. There it is. Okay, on that note, we'll take a quick break and come right back with you.
Dugger Fez. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mazz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mazz.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Listen, everything that coaches throughout the week, it tends to come up. And, you know, I'm beginning to think he either has like a Staples easy button or a Buffalo Wild Wings button, or just a straight direct line to the football guys, because he's like a football whisperer when it comes to anticipating what the game's going to be like, how we need to win, and things like that. I'm extremely impressed with that.
So there's Newton in the post game. Again, overstating it in the press conference, but Bill needed a week like that. Bill needed a week like that, and such a better answer to his critics than saying, well, how do you like my track record over the last 20 years? that excuse-making is so freaking weak and should be beneath him, but it's not. But that's such a better answer. Going out and doing last night, you know, winning a game on something other than pure talent, because you weren't the more talented team last night, so you won on whatever. Smarts, toughness, coaching, discipline, just being a smarter team, whatever. Win on that thing. People won't, you know, you won't have to face those questions like you do. So, anyway.
Game plans were good. I mean, they were. The game plans were good. I thought, you know, I didn't think they'd be able to run the ball in this game, and they did.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. John in Tewksbury. Hi, John. John.
Yes, hi, guys. I'm here. So thanks for taking my call. So I know the Patriots fans are riding on a high bubble after the win yesterday against the Ravens, but I'm sorry to remind them, they're still 4-5 and third in the division, and they still suck as a team. I mean, to be honest with you guys. They're 4-5, third in the division. They needed a miracle against the Jets because the Jets made stupid plays down the stretch to beat an 0-9 Jets team. And they needed a tsunami against Ravens to be 4-5.
Yep.
I mean, like, oh, this path. But what the hell is a path to go 8-8? I mean,
no.
That sounds so bad.
9-7, 10-6, and go to the playoffs. What's wrong with that, John?
Come on. They're not going 10-6. I mean, just look at the last two games, what they needed to go 4-5.
Well, but.
I'm sorry, but they're so bad.
Well, what's to say they can't be better? I mean, this was my whole point last week.
Caller, people don't want to hear our pessimism and realistic thoughts about this team today.
But
people enjoy it.
But Murray, that aside, like I do believe in sort of the whatever happens in front of you is what you sort of talk about. And the way they played last night was not horrid. Like this idea, they're so bad. They weren't so bad last night.
Not even close.
Like, what the hell is this guy talking about?
But, I mean, their talent is still, you know.
Limited.
Low.
Bottom tier, yeah. Bottom third of the league. In terms of pure talent, they're still probably bottom third of the league as it stands right now. But why can't they be better? Why can't they play better?
They can.
Why can't they come together and go on a run where they just play smart, tough, you know, a little more engaged football and win games that teams want to give them? Why can't they do that? And then why can't you take that into the postseason and then see what you do with it? Like, what's wrong with that?
I don't know what this guy's expectations were. Like, oh, 8-8? Well, let's say they go 9-7, okay? Given where they were, you're telling me that wasn't a pretty decent year?
If they go 9-7, they have a better than 50-50 chance of making the playoffs. Do you not want that?
Like, I don't get it. I just think people's expectations are warped. So they got off to a bad start without Brady. True. Yes, it was really bad. The last, you know, I'd say few weeks have been a little bit better. But last night was the best game they've played all year. And it does feel like they're going forward.
But, I mean, but I don't get what you don't want.
I think for a lot of people, they're having a hard time. And I'm part of this. So you're wrapping your head around, like, watching this. Even with wins, it's just so aesthetically different from what you're used to offensively over the last 20 years. You're like, ugh, just another round run, a handoff. Like, oh, it's like, it just, it looks so different that it's tough for people to digest. That's what I think. That's definitely part of it.
Did Tennessee go 2-5 last year?
That sounds right, actually.
I think Tennessee got off to some really...
Because they finished 9-7, I think.
Slow start, and they got on a run. They made the playoffs. They were playing their best football in the postseason, and they went on a run. Now, I'm not telling you you're as good as Tennessee, or that's, you know, necessarily something I would bank on happening, but, I mean, what's wrong with seeing if you can be one of those teams? What's wrong with that? Like, you're not going to be bad enough, and Bill's not going to... It's just the tanking was never going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry, Murray. It's just not.
No, I know. It felt like a window there was there in the Jets game, though. So
Tennessee went 2-4 last year.
So they start out 2-4. They get on a run. They find something. I mean, they weren't, you know, playing this aesthetically amazing football either, Murray. They were sort of 3 yards in a cloud of dust. But they got something going. They were well coached. They were tough and smart, and they went on a run and had a good season. So, like, you've gotten so stupidly spoiled that unless it's a Super Bowl, it's like, meh. Like, boy. Talk about miserable. Like, that's what you're going to be now?
Oh, I think that's what the attitude is a lot of fans.
Good you know, God.
They get up to a bad start without Brady, and it's like, well, I'm checking out. And that's it. It's over. Which, the 2-5, I get. I mean, that was discouraging. That was discouraging. But if you invested in last night's game, what was wrong with that? I know it was not it wasn't Brady firing the ball all over the field and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers scoring 46 points. I get that. You can't play that way anymore. You don't have them.
But frankly, the last 2 weeks, I mean, you came down 2 scores in the fourth quarter. I know the Jets are horrible, but every play mattered in that game, too. The last 2 games have been worthwhile from front to end. But unless it's a Super Bowl, I guess, no? Tank? Like, I don't get that. Jesse in Tampa. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys. I just want to say I agree with Murray, and I also understand the team-building portion of Belichick not tanking, but say they don't, they drop those last 2 games. You're sitting with a tie for the third worst record in the NFL at 2-7. You got the Jets have the tiebreaker losing to them, so you're basically going to get Fields or even maybe Lawrence. And right now with those wins at 4-5, you're now at the 15th pick, so you're really not going to get any kind of really substantial player for this kind of year. What do you guys think?
I think you're wrong. What do you mean you can't get a substantial player drafting in the middle of the first round? Kansas City ended up with Pat Mahomes with what, the 27th pick? Now, they didn't draft him there, but they were sitting at 27 when they started that draft year.
Something like that. Yeah, that's right. That's right. They went 12-4 that year.
You looked it up the other day.
Yeah, that's right. They moved up from 27.
Kansas City was in the late 20s. They identified the guy. They threw a first-round pick in for the upcoming year, right. And they traded up and got their guy. The Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers at 24. The Pittsburgh Steelers drafted Ben Roethlisberger at 11 or 13, something like that, in that range. So what, you've been in the middle of the first round, you're not going to get a good player? Are you effing stupid?
I'm telling you what, just as a quick aside, I'm starting to hope that Josh Fields really sucks.
Me too.
Since when, like, is an Ohio State quarterback the be-all and end-all?
So wait, now I'm going to intentionally lose games and pee away a season for some Ohio State quarterback. I'm out. Sorry, out.
I don't know why you guys are so angry. I mean, they won last night. You guys should be happy today.
No, because this idea that I honestly, every time someone throws Fields' name in there with Lawrence, I get agitated because I feel like it's, you know, it's just hype. And Lawrence, I think, is the real deal.
Oh, the attitude is just so wrong, though.
And for all I know, Fields can play, but his numbers are similar to what Haskins were.
It's okay.
And he blows.
They won. You guys have Cam Newton for the next few years. It's going to take.
I didn't say I want him for the next few years.
Take a deep breath, guys. Things are all good.
We're not going to have a pick to the middle of the first round. We're not going to get anyone good. What are you, freaking soft?
I'm living week to week. I'm okay living week to week right now. I don't need the answer for the long term. I'll live week to week.
That's right. McBone was right. You're not really football fans. You just want to get on Twitter and blow people, which makes you something else, but not real fans.
Makes you a tool.
Alan and Taunton. Go ahead, Alan.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking the call. Mike, I got to say, sitting here listening to these calls is ridiculous. I mean, I called to talk about the Patriots run game, and I still want to, but my goodness, what a bunch of babies. What are we going to do? Lose their teams. That's what they do. Lose their teams. They mail it in, and they get one of these quarterbacks that on the end of it, they don't fix it. Anyways, Mike, I'm sorry. I called
That's
to talk
okay.
about the run game. I just think the run game and the physicality of the quarterback and the running back are just really hard to game plan for. I mean, sure, you know what we're going to do, but there's only a handful of teams in the league, Mike, that are going to sit there and do it, do it for all four quarters, and they're going to stop these guys. And, I think we're going to find out who those teams are, and, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, we get to go to the playoffs and make some noise.
Okay, Alan, me too, that last part. The first thing, like, no one can stop our running game, like... Take it easy with that. Keep it in your pants on that one, because Baltimore did stop it. By the time you got to the fourth quarter, they were stopping you. And you were in second and long and third and long, and you had to punt your last three or four possessions, whatever it was. So Baltimore did ultimately stop it, and teams can stop the run if they, you know, commit to stopping the run. Now, maybe not Houston, since they're giving up on the season. They're 2-7 or whatever, and if you run it down their throat early, they might just give up. But good competitive teams will stop your running game. And you have to be able to throw it to more than just one guy then to win those games. And that's where the rubber's going to meet the road.
I mean, especially if teams start bringing guys into the box the way the Ravens did last night, that's where you're going to miss your tight end. Because that guy can slip out there and get into the open field, and now you can pick up a big game.
So that will come back to haunt you. It ultimately will. And last night, I mean, again, it gets lost in it, but it did come back to bite you in that game as well. Your last three possessions were punts. Because they were stopping your run. So it can be stopped, as good as it looked last night. Here's Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
First and 10 out of the eye from the 41. Clinton turns and gives it to Harris. Runs it through the middle. A big crease. Caught right at the 50. Runs it past the 45. Yeah. Hit and spins away from Humphrey. And eventually plummets at the 34-yard line.
Keep feeding him. Oh, man. His ability to hit the hole downfield. It's north-south at this kid. You know, it's just simple stuff. I mean, you're in a tight formation. You get your Z receiver down and tight off the tight end. Izzo sort of gets blown up into the backfield. Harris springs it up into the second level. That's a 25-yard pickup.
Damian Harris, what do you think of him, Mass?
I like him. Little tractor. I mean, again, he's not gigantic. He's not tiny. I mean, I don't mean to make it sound like he's 5'8", but he's 5'11", 210. He's not gigantic, but he runs bigger than he is, and he goes straight ahead. There's nothing fancy about it, which, again, it's fine. That's what they should be right now. They don't have elite talent. There shouldn't be a lot of bells and whistles. There shouldn't be a lot of clever plays and, not, you know, intricate decisions being made by the quarterback. None of it. They can't do it right now. They don't have that kind of talent. Keep it simple. Run straight ahead. Get your yardage. Protect the ball. End of story. But my only issue with Harris, and it's not his fault, is that based on the preseason last year, 2019, he looked like he could catch the ball. So I'd like to see them use him in the passing game. Now, maybe they're waiting to unveil that later on. Who the hell knows? So, because I think he's a more complete back than anything they've had in a little while. I'm interested in seeing that. But in terms of the running, they give him the ball, he hits the hole, he keeps going forward. What's not to like?
I only have one issue with him, and really it has to do with the coaching staff. You mean to tell me he couldn't have helped you last year? Your last real crack at a Super Bowl or going on a deep playoff run, especially when you're getting held up at the one-yard line, the wild card game against Tennessee, that kid couldn't have helped? No, just 5 snaps on the year, 6 snaps, whatever it was. I'm still annoyed by that. The kid's good. He's got natural talent. The guy carries guys. He's strong.
He's solid.
It's just what I want out of my running back. He is my prototype, mostly because he's not a high pick. He's not a lot of money. And he's and you know, he was 87 overall, I guess. And you can see why, because he's not, it's not like he, you look at him and say, ooh, he's, you know, physically, he's a beast physically. He's not. He's average sized. His speed is good, but you don't look at it and go, oh, he's a burner. Not, he does have plus size, plus speed. It's like he's Barry Sanders out there. He's not super elusive.
No.
He's just tough, hard-nosed, quick, hits the hole, hangs on to the ball. All I want, and don't cost me any money or a high draft pick. Perfect. Boom. There it is.
Yeah, I told you earlier, he reminds me of Stephen Ridley without the fumbles. Ridley used to fumble like crazy. This kid looks like he holds on to the ball. He runs straight ahead. He runs hard. I'll give you another concern. He won't last long. However long he's in the league, it won't be long because he's not that big and he's going to get hit and he's not afraid of the contact.
Well, and he's been coming out, you know, obviously late the Jets, and he came out last night.
He did.
Too. Yeah.
Yep, he did again. So I just think that, you know, he's the kind of guy, if you're going to give it to him 22 times, which is what he did last night, he's going to take some shots. And I just don't think in the long run he'll last. But that's the position. That's life as a running back in the NFL. So just keep giving him the ball. To me, he's been a plus.
All right, back to you, Tom and Quincy. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Mike, I'm a conformer to your passing.
Attaboy.
A couple weeks ago, I was like, how the hell does he think they're really going to get to this? But I think we can all rely on the fact that the division that they play in just blows beyond, you know, comprehension, where those other teams are going to F that up. If you can beat these teams, which the best games they've played have been against the best teams, considered the best teams in the league, and the games they play horrible are against the worst teams in the league. So if you can eke out games like they did last night, where the opposite team makes the bad, you know, stupid decisions and plays sloppy and all this, and the weather can play into it or whatever. But I think that you can start to see people like Lamar Jackson and these guys, he's got a little bit of quit in him. And I think that that's going to play into this. I think the only guy that has any kind of fight when they're down in the rest of the league is probably Mahomes. And they could have won that game if Hoyer wasn't a meathead.
Well, let's see. You know, the thing about playing down to the competition, it sort of coincided with that big COVID, you know, thing. So I'm still not sure. I'm still not ready to say they play up to competition or down to competition. They might, because they certainly have done that. But it also sort of, you know, when they had a full training camp, they come out there playing pretty well. Good, solid game against Miami. You know, good effort in Seattle. And they come home and win against the Raiders. Don't look great, but they find a way. Then COVID hits and it all goes to crap. And as they've sort of been building their way back up since then. So I think their ups and downs have been related to that. But if it's them playing up or down to the competition, that's not good. The first thing he said was, this division blows beyond comprehension.
Not anymore.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Not anymore. Go ahead, Murray.
Tagovailoa is getting better by the week, a quarterback for the Dolphins. Their defense is opportunistic and legit. Buffalo's still Buffalo. You see how they blew that game late yesterday. But those two teams are good. I don't think you can bank on both those teams going sideways here for the remainder of the season, because they're not what they used to be.
I think roster-wise, they're both better than you.
Yep.
Okay? But that doesn't mean they're a better team. I don't know if they'll be better coached or will be able to handle whatever. Pressure elements, you know, who knows how that all shakes out. That's why the NFL's great. It's not just, as I say a million times over, this isn't track and field. So there's all sorts of different variables and coaching and how you play together and all of it. So let's see how that all boils out and shakes out. But roster-wise, they're both better than you.
Yeah, absolutely. And both better at you at the most important position on the field, too, at least as of right now. And Tua, I'll tell you, the one thing that he gives them that Fitzpatrick doesn't is ball security. He doesn't turn it over. 5 touchdowns, no picks.
But, you know, there's a real, it feels like there's a build there, you know, like they're really building something, and the Tua thing did not get in the way of it. It sort of feeds into it. And
in fact, I think the opposite. I think the other guys on the team believe in the kid. Like, it looks to me like he knows how to win games, and he makes some plays when he gets flushed from the pocket. He made a throw yesterday running to his left where I thought, whoa, like it was a dart. And he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he can play the position.
No, the path there is you get into that game, week 16, 17, whatever it is, it matters, and you just play smart, mistake-free, and Tagovailoa and Flores and that whole group just isn't quite ready to seize the day. And they give it to you. And that's what happens there. And I'd say similarly with Buffalo, which I feel like is there. They were ready to give you the last game in Buffalo. Like that's still because they're both better than you, and that's your path there this year. Long commercial-free segment comes your way right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Felger and Mads. Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Pats threaten with a second down and six from the Baltimore 24. Out of the timeout, Newton will duck under center with three receivers wide to the left. Burkhead the single setback. A lateral to Jacoby Myers, the former NC State quarterback, looks to throw. Airing it out deep down the right side for Rex Burkhead. Yeah. Dives and catches in the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
What a call. What a call. Oh, man. And you know it right away because Jacoby's about 5 yards deep. Perfect execution off the snap. And how about the poise of Myers waiting for Burkhead to clear, to see his eyes into the wind, and he hangs the ball up to allow Rex to make a play on it. And he takes a shot as he releases it. Great catch by Burkhead.
Probably the play of the game for the Patriots last night, their big win over Baltimore. We're getting your reaction to it here on a re-entry Monday. Paul in Maine. Go ahead, Paul.
Jacoby Myers looked better as a high school quarterback than Newton does now as a pro. But for the first time, guys, in 20 years, the Pats are not a lock for the playoffs, and yet I'm enjoying the hell out of this regular season. For one, I actually like the tension created by the uncertainty of this team's performance from week to week. I mean, nothing's a given. Every week counts. And furthermore, we don't have to watch Brady's eye-rolling bitch tantrums on the sidelines anymore. That act is getting old. This is refreshing. Sorry, Murray, but I like it.
Okay, hear, hear. I agree. Murray?
No, it's okay. Today's your day. Celebrate.
No. How do you don't enjoy it?
No, I think they're boring as hell to watch, even in wins. I thought that since week one against Miami. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. There's six teams ahead of them with 6-3 records. The Bills are 7-3. If every 6-3 team goes 3-4, they need to go 5-2 the rest of the way to tie at 9-7. Then it's tiebreakers, and it's just prolonging the inevitable. But that's how I feel. But celebrate. They won last night. That was a game no one expected them to win. The path is open. You know, enjoy it.
The way you laid it out, that sounds like a very reasonable path. Very reasonable.
See,
path.
The math exists. The path is there. It's like putting your Christmas tree up early, brainwashing yourself into cheer and merriment. It's a dark time right now. All a matter of time before this state gets shut down again. So enjoy it. Enjoy. I'm not going to stand in your way. Enjoy the path. Do the math. Celebrate. That was a good win for them last night.
So you know what the problem is with fans here now? They don't want to work for it. They don't. They're used to just going 12-4 automatically and then showing up in the divisional playoff, kicking the crap out of some team that blows, and then being in the AFC Championship game. So they could coast along during the regular season and say, yeah, it's only September, they'll go 12-4. And it was automatic. You didn't have to work for it. All you had to do was show up. And you could half-ass it during the regular season, just drink and party and tailgate and do everything else you wanted on game day.
No.
And you didn't actually have to work for the wins.
Search the internet to see who said something negative about you and then blow them on Twitter. That's the Patriots fan experience there.
So now, without Brady and without much of a roster, they have to go back to square one, which is really back almost 20 years, and do it in the most fundamental, simple, and dare I say, yes, a little boring way, Murray, at least stylistically. It's not what you want in terms of the bells and whistles and the ball flying all over the field.
No, it's all. I don't think that's a big ask as a sports fan, a quarterback that, you know, knows how to play the position and can throw the football. But, again, they're winning, so it's aesthetically ugly to me. A win's a win, so enjoy it.
Yeah, I am including you in this group. You don't want to work for it. You don't. You just want to show up in divisional week, kick the crap out of someone, and be in the AFC title game.
Is that
you don't want to do all the legwork to get there.
No, I typically like a quarterback that can throw the ball and just, like have to.
I mean, you might be right about the quarterback.
Oh, he can't throw. It's painful to watch. And Jacoby Myers does have a nicer motion than he does.
It was the best pass they've thrown all year.
Much more fluid.
Seriously.
Stephen Wakefield. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. As an old man, I got to say, I agree with the guy from Maine. I'm enjoying the season this year. It's a lot of fun. But to my point, Harbaugh had a ridiculously brilliant move as far as time management at the end of that game. With about 2 minutes and 40 seconds left, it would have been second and two. And he had his guy go offside.
Yeah, so you...
saved himself two downs.
You thought that was intentional when Baltimore went offsides late?
I'm not convinced of that.
I mean, they had taken so many dumb penalties the entire game and helped you out with flags that I just... Based on how they had played that whole game, I don't want to give them that credit. But
no, go ahead, I'm sorry.
It was so bad and so blatant, I do wonder. I did write down intentional, question mark. It was so blatant that I do wonder if it was intentional. And it did ultimately save them time. It did. If they had let the Pats run a play there, I think it was second and two. This was right after, I believe. I'm conferring with my notes. I believe this was right after Newton had that 8-yard gain and got up and did his first down dance, even though he was short. And it was. And so you're second and two. And if Baltimore, you know, lets you get that, the clock's running and whatnot. But when they jump off sides, the clock stops and now it's first down. It might have saved them in the end. You're dubious?
I am dubious because, again, it was a little different. You know, because Mike Vrabel did this earlier in the year and his was a too many men on the field penalty and it worked. Now everyone wants to think that everyone does it on purpose. And the circumstances were a little bit different. And so, in this case, Baltimore had already burned two timeouts.
This is right. This is why they needed the clock stoppage even more.
Right. Well, I was going to say, because of that, though, the Patriots were guaranteed another three plays. Like, they were going to be able to run the ball down, because now you're starting on first down again. Baltimore had already burned two. Now you're guaranteed of burning, you know, what is that, a minute 25 off the clock. So, I think that they...
But it stops the clock.
Yeah, but if you stop them... And maybe
and he stopped it right at 240 where they had to call another timeout, remember? Because it stopped it right at 240. Well,
yeah, Baltimore called another one. Right. Right. But again, if they had not gone offside, and then they could have gotten to a third down, and now you get 2 minutes on the clock. So I refuse to give him credit for that one. I refuse.
Toss up. Here's Steve in Portland. Hi, Steve.
How are you doing? You know what drives me nuts about Cam is his cadence and the snap count, because they were right on him in the third and fourth quarter, and there was one play. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, ready? Yeah, it's very slow. It's very deliberate.
And then there was one play where it was a play action, and all he had to do is climb the pocket because Harris had the block, but he panics, and he runs towards the blitz, and he did that like twice in the third and fourth quarter.
No, I know it does. It's not what you're used to seeing. A guy who can pass and handles the pocket beautifully. That's not Cam Newton. It's a different deal. So, yep, agreed. And I know Murray said before, you know, have fun with Cam Newton as your quarterback the next 2 to 3 years. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for an upgrade on their bridge quarterback. I want them drafting a guy and signing a different bridge quarterback. That's my plan. But in the short term, if Cam Newton wants to surprise me and win games and go on a run and go to the playoffs, I'll take it. I'll take it. I'm rooting for him.
I mean, to me, Newton just has to protect the ball.
And stop skipping it like it's rocks at a lake.
I mean, real, again, he threw 17 passes last night. 17. Like, there were games where Brady threw that in a quarter, for crying out loud.
Nate is in the truck. Hi, Nate.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Real quick, Matt, you know, all these years it was easy for them because they played to the level down to their competition. It's still happening in the AFC East. That's not my point. Murray, I'm right there with you. If you really look at it, Bill wasn't ready for this transition. If you look at all those other dynasties, be it the 49ers or the Packers, you had Steve Young in the waking. You got Aaron Rodgers in the waking. You know what I mean? There was a reason why Cam Newton was there at the 11th hour. He's just a Band-Aid. You know what I mean? If anything, if you look at it, it's us fans. We're not looking for a Super Bowl or bust. It's about let's start this process. Let's get the new kid in there and let's see the, you know, if he has aches and pains, I'd rather see that than see this at an 8-8 team or 9-7 team and miss out on a top tier quarterback.
Okay, I just don't know why you think you need to lose games to get a quarterback. Why do you need to lose games to get a quarterback? I mean, on paper, yes, it seems like it's easier because you're drafting higher. Just look at the history of it. It doesn't work out that way. Hardly ever. Sometimes, rarely, it does, but hardly ever.
Yeah, I think what's really coming home to roost for me is that, you know, I'll give you guys credit because you were ahead of this for years. It's that they botched this. Like, this shouldn't have come to this. Like, this was a stopgap plan. Feels like, yeah, next year might still be a stopgap plan until they kind of figure it out and maybe draft a guy. Like, they had the guy.
They
like,
absolutely botched the transition.
It's just a mess.
Absolutely.
It is. Yeah, they're flying by the seat of their pants.
They have no plan.
None.
They have no plan. And if their plan was ever to tank, it was a lousy plan. I don't think it ever was their plan. So they're going to have to figure it out. And to do that without the guy is when you really get in trouble, because that's when you reach or you get desperate or you maybe see things that you shouldn't be seeing. You can't be patient with it. They should have started that clock the second they traded Jimmy Garoppolo. They should have been looking for the next guy, looking to draft him high, looking to start developing him, even when Tom Brady was still here. Even if that pissed Tommy off and you had to hear from Tommy and Giselle and Tom Sr. and all of it, they should have risked it, because that's the right thing to do for the franchise. And they botched it. From Bill to Robert to all of them, botched it.
Especially if Brady went to them after the Garoppolo trade and after they lost the Super Bowl and said he wanted out. They took Danny Etling. Danny.
Three drafts to figure it out, and they punted on all of them, and now you're sitting here for a fourth draft and you don't have a guy. So you're going to have to overpay in free agency, overpay in a trade to get Garoppolo back or something like that, and still draft a guy four years later. That's brutal.
I mean, and so to the people that the whole tanking thing, it's over. They got four wins now. Forget it. It's gone.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, no, you don't.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can't still get a quarterback in the first round.
Oh, no, it's not just a quarterback I'm annoyed to. Like, tight ends. Like, they've just been, like, that cupboard's been bare for years now. I know they tried and seemingly whiffed on two of them this year. It's just, I don't know. The whole thing was just like, well, now that Brady's gone, let's throw crap against the wall and see what sticks.
I'll tell you the other thing, too, quickly, and I'll save it for the moment. This whole idea that they played at the level of their competition, I don't think it's right.
Okay, so Mass is a developing opinion on that. We'll get to right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.